friends. You don't go over there and shake hands, smile, hug their neck.
Let's knock them on their backs, butt them in the mouth, knock their ass in the dirt. That's what we got to do.
We got to stop that buddy ball. Smash everybody in the mouth.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party. I like this kind of party, baby.
You're in the Doghouse with Rick Watson and Big Dog Sports Talk on 105.3 The Bear.
Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
You know what that means? Do you? We're the underdog. We're mutts.
My number one play is the power sweep.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
Welcome in to Hour 3, the Power Hour, on Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson. Join the conversation now on the Baker Team Hotline, 540-731-1053, or text Rick and the show at 744-2990. And now your host, the Big Dog, Rick Watson.
That's right, Little Mungo Jerry in the summertime. Low 90s today. We are definitely in the summertime. Welcome back. 744-2990 is how you can reach us on the text line. David Teal joins us in about half an hour. Right now it's time for the Roth Report here on BDST.
From 105.3 The Bear, it's time for the Roth Report. Now, along with Virginia Sports Hall of Famer, current ESPN broadcaster, and voice of Virginia Tech football, Bill Roth, here is Rick Watson.
Good morning, William. How are you, my friend?
Good, man. Good to be with you. How are things?
Doing okay, man. Always great when I get to visit with you on a Wednesday.
You're going
to
jump in the pool today, aren't you?
Yeah, I would love to, yes. That would be my first thought, yes.
Get that AC cranked up. No, good to be with you. So much to get to today.
Yes.
We've got 9 weeks till classes start.
Less
than
man.
That till football practice starts.
Wow.
ACC kickoff's coming up here in less than a month in Charlotte. It's going to be a four-day event, by the way, because of expansion, right, with SMU, Cal, and Stanford joining.
Mm-hmm.
We can't get it all in. I don't know who will stay for all 4 days. It might be mind-numbing to listen to all the coaches talk for 4 days.
Very true.
I guarantee you Teal will be there.
He will. He'll camp out for the whole week. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No question. No question. Are you here or are you in Florida? Where are you
I'm
now?
I'm down in Florida.
Okay.
I went to a family event over the weekend, and then I came back yesterday just in time for the Stanley Cup bar crawl.
Oh, it had to be fun.
So the Elbow Room is a historic bar right on Fort Lauderdale Beach that has been there since the 50s. It was, in fact, it hasn't changed much from the 50s. If you ever went to spring break in Fort Lauderdale when you were in college, you probably had a cash-only drink at Elbow Room. The team brought the Stanley Cup. It was yesterday morning. I was just out running some errands, and there's the Stanley Cup going down Los Olas Boulevard in the back of a golf cart being driven by Alexander Barkov. One of the players, and they ended up at the bar, and then the cup ended up in the ocean yesterday morning.
So cool.
It was kind of neat. Kind of neat for that group of guys.
Well, how about that Florida? I mean, the Lightning's had so much success. The Panthers get their first cup. I mean, Florida's the hotbed of professional hockey in recent years. Crazy.
You know, the demographics have changed. There's so many. I think there's, 300,000 Canadians living in Florida now, and that's helped change it, and hey, when it's hot in Florida, people like to skate. But yeah, Tampa Bay and Florida Panthers, those two teams have been really good.
Yeah, very, very good. I want to get your thoughts on Jim Schlossnagel, the A&M coach who took shots at the reporter who asked him a very sound and logical question that proved to be very true because the next day he left for another job.
You know, there's so many interesting angles to this whole story. Number one is the Texas A&M rivalry because I'd like to know what the relationship is now between Chris Del Conte, who's the AD of Texas, and Trev Alberts at Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting. You know, the College World Series goes through the third week of June. Clearly, Texas was going to make a change in their head baseball coach, even though, what, in 8 years, they went to three College World Series.
That's right.
But it goes to show you there's more to being a successful head coach than winning. The relationship with your AD or whatever, and it evidently wasn't great, I guess, right?
Clearly, yeah. Yeah.
But this adds to the lore of the rivalry. And I know, I can understand A&M fans are hurt, right? They're successful coach.
Oh, sure, sure.
Went to their biggest rival. But, so I'm saying there's different angles to this whole thing. And the timing of it, I mean, it's over a month after graduation at Texas, and they want to make a coaching change, and it's like, the Aggies keep winning, and they make it all the way to Omaha, and they want to make the change. But I think the interesting story for me was how Schlossnagel reacted to Richard Zane, the Texas Aggs writer, mm-hmm. who asked him in a press conference, there's rumors that you might be going to Texas.
Right.
So to put that in perspective, Texas Aggs would be essentially what Tech Sideline is. It's a multimedia organization in College Station, Texas, that covers Texas A&M athletics. They're pro Aggies. They're all about the Texas A&M culture and mm-hmm. the Texas A&M community. And the audience is 99.9% Aggie fans, right? Fair.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the writer asks the head baseball coach, hey, man, there's a rumor you're going to Texas. And he blew up on him. I think you played it earlier on.
Yeah.
And he said, you're selfish to ask that question. And less than 24 hours later, he's
he's gone
to Texas. Right. So it was going to happen. But what I thought, and I'm going to get Richard Zane, the guy who asked the question. By the way, I do think Schlossnagel eventually does apologize here. It's just such a bad look. He was upset that they lost that game to Tennessee. He should have anticipated that question coming and how he was going to answer it. I mean, he could have denied it and completely lied, but he came close.
He came close.
Right, claiming that I have no interest, right? This
right.
is a job
right.
I took for
right.
life. Yeah.
That's good. You're going to have Richard Zane. That's awesome.
I want to do that.
So, yeah.
Just so you know, one of the things we do for the class is I play a press conference, two of them, one from Urban Meyer and one from Russell Westbrook. The Urban Meyer press conference, Rick, was when he was denying anything wrong had happened at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the opportunity, with hindsight, to see Urban Meyer not being a straight shooter with the media and then using his position on a podium almost to try to intimidate reporters. I'm the Ohio State football coach. You listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you the truth. Right? And what we show, and then the kids see it, and then we see what happened afterwards, and they go, oh, my goodness, Coach Meyer was lying the whole time, like 100% lying. And Ohio State ended up, I'm not sure how they fired him, but how they worded it at that point, and he left and got out of coaching at that point. But what the lesson is that if you're in a press conference, regardless of what media representation you have, right? In this instance, it was Texas A&M's own site.
Right.
You have to ask the question.
Yeah.
Representing the fans.
Sure. That was a perfect
question. Here's the head coach of the Aggies. 100%, I am loyal to Texas A&M. That's what this school is about, right? A&M's really, that's kind of their pillars, right? We don't lie. We tell the truth. We're loyal to the Aggies. And if you question that, you're selfish. That's basically what Schlossnagel said, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard question. You got to have some guts to ask it, right? And that's what we talk about in class. Like, it's okay to ask a tough question if it is a fair question.
Right. And it was in the middle of it, too.
Yeah. If you're going to be in the room, you have to ask it. If you don't want to ask it, then don't be a reporter.
Sure. He did nothing wrong.
Well, had he not asked it, it would have been a mistake.
Yeah, right.
Because less than 24 hours later, he's a Hook'em Horns head coach.
That's right.
You're competing again, and he took his whole staff with him, by the way.
Yeah, right.
So this decimated A&M's program. And we're way, like, it's already almost July. And it, so the timing of it was bad. And so it was interesting at the time, Texas A&M fans were mad at the reporter for asking it.
Right, right.
Well, don't get mad at the reporter. That's her job, his job.
That's right.
To ask the question. And so we show Urban Meyer. Another one we showed a few years ago was Jimbo Fisher. Remember when Jimbo?
Yes.
He at the time was the head coach at Florida State. They lost. Final game he coached for the Seminoles was at Florida. So they're in the press conference in Gainesville, and he pulled the same thing. How dare you ask me that?
Mm-hmm.
I would never leave Florida State for Texas A&M. I'm a Seminole. Remember that?
And mm-hmm. I do.
He was very, very confrontational to the reporter. And what happened the next day?
Oops. Aggieland, here I come, baby.
And I think the question would be, you know, how long had this been going on? I mean, is he coaching A&M the whole time knowing he's leaving?
That's right.
You know, it just, you feel for Texas A&M fans, but I think it's a lesson. Don't get mad at the reporter for asking a hard question if you're a fan or the coach.
That's right. That's right. On a,
but it can be hard, right?
It can be.
Coaches can be intimidating if you're.
They can. They try to be.
They're up there on the podium and they're above you and it's Urban Meyer,
mm-hmm.
right?
On a good note, anyway. Hokies quarterback room. Is this the deepest quarterback room, maybe one of, in the country from top to bottom?
Well, it's interesting because you've got to have different kind of approaches to it now because of the portal. So, I mean, we know Kyron's going to be the Hokie starter, Kyron Drones, and you know Colin Schley is in here now, and he's going to be in the backup position along with Pop Watson. And then you've got Dobby Belford, who's the freshman from Fort Lauderdale, who's going to be in the room too. And we'll see what it looks like. But you have to – two things. Number one, the odds of getting through an entire season with one QB seems low, right?
Absolutely.
It's so long. And number two, you got to look ahead to 25.
Yes. Yes, you do. And they've got the depth to do that.
Every quarterback room in the country is fluid because who knows a year from today who could be in that room
mm-hmm.
with the portal and whatnot. I think Colin Schley will be a good addition to the Hokies. He's played in a lot of football games. I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. When he was at Kent State, I did a couple of his games on TV. He's a really nice kid. He's experienced. Obviously, Chip Kelly thought enough of him to bring him to L.A. and play for the Bruins last year at UCLA. And then Chip left, and so Colin transferred to Tech. I think having someone in the room who's got some experience and who's played in some really big games, regular season and big bowl games, and played at the highest level is huge. So I'm excited about that, you know, if there's an injury or something happens during the course of this season where you've got to go to a relief pitcher, you've got someone who's really done it at the highest level.
Agreed. I think that is, it's one of the most, I won't say unheralded, but it's kind of under the radar a little bit, but he's the perfect guy that Brent Pry needed, I think, to come and be that number two guy ready to go, Colin Schley.
Just I was talking with Chris Coleman of Tech Sideline. The backup quarterback isn't the most important player on your entire team until that split second that he becomes the most important player on your team.
Absolutely. Well said, yeah.
All right, your quarterback's knocked out, boom. Who's the backup? Go. And there's no bullpen to warm up. Right? You're in there and you play. So I think that Coach Pry and Tyler Bowen, Coach Bowen, have done a nice job and will continue to do it. There will be more portal movement around the country at that position.
It is the Roth Report here on BDST. Coming up, we will look at what's going on with the SMA. As Bill said, we're only 9 weeks away. It sounds like a lot, but it's really not. For classes, Baker Team Game of the Week, and the NRV Heart Clinic Top 3. It's the voice of Virginia Tech football, Bill Roth, in the Roth Report. More coming up as we roll along here on a Wednesday.
First in Maine is a beautiful shopping center located right here in Blacksburg and has the perfect mix of shops, restaurants, and entertainment. Grab some new shoes and accessories at Runabout Sports and Walkabout Outfitter to make your hikes around the NRV even better. Looking to grab a bite to eat? Well, First in Maine has great restaurants like Avellino's and Bull and Bones. Looking for some family entertainment? Then check out B&B Theaters for movies, the arcade, and bowling. And True Value Hardware for your home improvement projects. Visit First in Maine today, the official entertainment destination of Virginia Tech Athletics.
Louise Baker, the Louise Baker team with Long & Foster Realtors. Hire an experienced real estate agent to help you navigate the world of selling your property. From pre-marketing fix-up, the listing paperwork, showings, negotiations, to all the details of closing, let the agent guide you with each step. Hire a professional. Louise Baker, Long & Foster Realtors. Contact us at nrvhomes.com.
From the classroom to the studio to the stadium, it's time to catch up on the latest from Virginia Tech's Sports Media and Analytics Program. Today's SMA update is brought to you by First in Maine, Blacksburg's premier destination to eat, drink, shop, and play.
And we're back
here
with
once again
the Roth Report here on BDST. Bill Roth joining us, getting ready, of course. I mean, we're only a couple months away. He's going to be down
I
in
know,
Nashville.
It's not quite back to school time.
not yet.
It's not even 4th of July yet.
True. True. Well, I can't wait. I can't wait for it to get going. I can't wait to listen to you guys.
Oh, my goodness. I'm not ready to hop back into the classroom.
Getting a little too soon, huh?
I haven't had 4th of July yet.
Well, what's happening with the SMA, though? I mean, I know it's you're planning already. You just mentioned you got some nice material handed to you with the whole exchange there at Texas A&M.
I'm going to change the syllabus for that one class. We're going to get the Texas Ags writer to zoom into the class.
That'll be great. That'll be
great. But I have great respect for coaches. They're in a tough situation, right?
Yeah, I mean, they are. They are.
That's where having a great SID can help you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're, as a coach, you're thinking about the game and what did I do, and you just lost to Tennessee, and then you get hit with that. Mm-hmm. You got to have a little prep. And I'll give Brent Pry credit. One of the things that Coach Pry does after the game, before he goes into the press room, he'll visit with members of his staff, right, to talk about the game before he meets with the media.
Mm-hmm.
But he also visits with Travis Wells. What are we going to get? What am I going to get hit with anything I'm not expecting?
Sure, anymore? Yeah.
And not that you rehearse anything, but at least you have in the back of your mind how you might respond to a question. So we've got 9 weeks till classes start. We've got a bunch of kids doing baseball this summer, interns all over the country, internships. So that's what they're doing right now. We are in the process of looking ahead to, we're going to have our School of Communication retreat coming up here in August. And we'll go over different things that we're going to do perhaps differently. That's way above my pay grade, so to speak. They'll tell us some changes for the protocol for the academic world. So Robin Reed and Anthony Amy and I are the sports media analytics types that will be working with our students again, as others as well. But we're the three professors of practice that are in the business working with students. So the academicians kind of point us in the right direction so that we do things correctly.
Pretty cool. I'm actually getting text messages. Can you please ask Bill, can you give us an update on Baxter? How's he doing?
He's looking at me right now. He heard his name.
That's great. Peeps chiming in.
Lovable golden doodle.
Yeah.
People don't believe he's a doodle because he looks just like a golden. Yep, I'm talking about you, my man.
Yep. Is he a big beach fan?
Over to the table here.
He's got to be a big beach fan, right?
He is. He was out there 2 weekends ago. It's hot. Although today's another one of those days where it's hotter in Blacksburg than Florida.
Yeah. Low 90s today here.
Yeah, and we'll hit 90 in Florida. But he's doing very well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. All right, Baker team game of the week. I mean, we're in the dog days now. With
it's the dog days of summer, right?
We're here
so
now.
So I had to dig deep.
Mm.
But, you know, there's going to have a sellout crowd tonight at SoFi Stadium in L.A. for the Copa America which most of those games, I think all the games are in the USA, but Venezuela's playing Mexico tonight. And it'll be sold out. It's amazing, the passion.
I know.
And Saturday in Miami, Argentina plays Peru, same thing. Log on, look at the ticket prices are like $1,500. It'll be packed. The USA plays Panama at Mercedes-Benz next week. The quarterfinals and semis are in Charlotte for that, right? In July?
Yeah, I think so.
There'll be 75,000 people going to those games in Charlotte. But I'm going with Georgia's big game Saturday. It's on Fox. Did you know that, Rick?
No. What's going on?
Georgia, but not the Bulldogs.
Yeah?
The country.
Gotcha. Ugga won't be there.
Portugal in the UEFA knockout stage Saturday on Fox.
Okay.
Same thing, though. The tickets for that are like 1,800 euro. It's on Fox. So I should be talking baseball, right?
Well, but I mean, yeah.
The ratings for the Fox coverage on Saturday's Portugal-Georgia knockout game will beat most baseball.
It will. It will. Yeah. Probably for the whole month. Yeah, absolutely.
Fox has a doubleheader. They've kind of committed to that over the air. Big Fox and FS1. Lots of soccer here this spring.
Yeah, they really have. They've kind of poured a lot into that, haven't they, over recent years?
The numbers are good.
Yeah.
I was talking, I had lunch with my friend Sean McDonough, broadcaster.
Oh, you know, so good.
That hockey game the other night in the USA, Edmonton, Florida, at one point, in the third period, they had over 10 million viewers on that on ABC.
Man, he's so good. So good at hockey.
He's great. Oh. He may be the best overall play-by-play guy right now.
Oh, unbelievable.
In the country, any sport.
Any sport.
But what's interesting about 10 million people watching that, Rick, is that, you know, Edmonton's from another country, and that doesn't count any Canadian ratings. That's just U.S. viewers.
That's huge for hockey.
And, you know, Florida's not a traditional hockey team. It's not like you had the Rangers or Chicago.
Right. Yeah.
So it was the highest rated hockey game in history without one of the original six teams. Meaning no Boston, no New York, no Chicago.
Yeah.
Edmonton versus Fort Lauderdale in the Stanley Cup Game 7. 10 million people.
That's cool. That is so cool. And I can't believe it's been over 30 years since a Canadian team won the Cup. That's crazy to me. That's an amazing stat to me.
Oh, I think they hear about it all the time.
They do. They're reminded every year.
They're reminded all the time. Now, 3 or 5 Stanley Cup winners are from Florida.
Yeah, that's right. Take that, Canada.
USA, USA. But it was just interesting to hear Sean's perspective on it, because they know who's watching, and they get, you know, ABC pumped a lot into this too. But it goes back to what Fox is doing with soccer, right? They know people will watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's USA versus Panama next week in the Copa America in prime time, it's going to get more people watching it than a Chicago White Sox-Atlanta Braves game.
No question.
It's just going to.
No question.
And they know that, and that's why they're going to play it up.
Oh, very smartly done.
I don't know how far the USA is going to go, but...
But it'll be viewed. You're exactly right about that.
But now people know, like, oh, I'll watch Argentina because Messi's playing, right? Or,
oh, yeah,
that
right.
That type of thing.
Yeah. All right, time now for Bill's NRV Heart Clinic Top 3.
Are you ready for today's countdown? It's time for Bill's Top 3. Now back with Bill Roth, it's Rick Watson.
And I'm in the dark, and these are always the most fun for me. So this
should
will be
cool. Should we do Baxter's Top 3 Dog Treats?
Sure.
Now he's heard his name and the word treat.
Yeah, so now he's up.
Perked up.
He's ready to go now.
Anything with beef. Oh. Although I bought him some banana chips. He likes those, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's spoiled. I spend more time worrying about his diet than my own, candidly.
Of course you do. It's the way it's got to be. As God intended.
So, if you look around where these Copa America games are, right? Hard Rock Stadium, SoFi Stadium, Bank of America Stadium, NRG in Houston, right? Like, they're playing them at the most expensive stadiums ever built. So I thought, what are the 3 most expensive stadiums in the history of the world?
Oh, cool.
Ever built. And how much were they? And number 3, Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, $1.9 billion.
Good Lord.
$1.9 billion. Number two, MetLife in New York, $2 billion. $2 billion for a stadium.
For a stadium. Amazing? Yeah, that is amazing.
And number one, and it's not close, do you know what it is?
Is that the new one out in L.A.?
Yeah, SoFi.
It is SoFi, okay.
$5.5 billion. And I've seen it. I've not gone to an event there, but I've seen it, and it's ridiculously opulent. It's like an indoor and outdoor stadium at the same time.
Spared no expense.
Stadium. Yeah, yeah. So the Olympics will be there. Is that going to be Olympic Stadium? They have the Rose Bowl, the Coliseum, and SoFi. What's going to be the Olympic Stadium?
Ooh, that's a good question. Very good question. You would think SoFi, wouldn't you?
You'd think, but they'll have events at all three, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
They got three massive stadiums there.
$5 billion.
I did some research on this. Adjusting for inflation, the most expensive stadium ever built was the Olympic Stadium in Montreal.
Oh, really? The original Olympic Stadium?
Adjusted for inflation, it's at $8 billion. It was over $1 billion in 1973.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I miss the Expos, by the way. They need to come back. Bring the Expos back.
Montreal was always a really good baseball town. It's just not a good baseball weather town.
Yeah, yeah.
People said, well, no one goes to Montreal Expos games. What's 26 degrees?
Yeah. Put a roof on it and rock and
roll.
Who's
your all-time favorite Expo?
Well, it comes down to two for me. Well, maybe three. I'm going to go Andre Dawson. I'm going to take the Hawk over Tim Raines and Gary Carter.
Okay.
I like Andre Dawson. I know he was a Cub later, but yeah.
Gary Carter would be a good one.
Yeah.
How about Le Grand Orange?
Le Grand Orange. Rusty Staub played there, too.
Rusty Staub.
Yeah, yeah. Ellis Valentine. Warren Cromartie. That's who I used to like growing
Warren
up.
Warren Cromartie.
Yeah.
You know, they retired those guys' jersey numbers, and the Nationals are honoring that.
Oh, are they really? That? No, I didn't know
if
that. That's cool.
Yeah, if you go to a Nats game, that's another stadium, Nats Park. That's in the top 20 stadiums in terms of money spent to build it. But if you look behind home plate at Nats Park, they've got the Expos retired jerseys
on
there.
That's really cool. I like that.
I think that's classy.
That's very classy. So glad to see they did that. I didn't know that. Very cool. Well, you're always classy.
Logo.
Yeah.
The Expos logo.
With the Expos logo, which is a great logo, by the way. Great logo.
So I'm glad they do that, too.
Me, too.
Because that's a big part of it. I heard an interview. Tommy Lasorda played Montreal, and he talked about it was one of the best, during the summertime, one of the best places to play.
Mm-hmm.
He loved playing. He was a pitcher, minor league pitcher at the time, but he loved Montreal.
That's right.
People loved it, the culture, the fans, the people. They love baseball up there.
But they do.
It's just so hard in April and May.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You got snow everywhere. So we won't have snow this weekend in Blacksburg.
No,
so
we will not.
My man,
we will not. We will not.
We're getting ready. ACC kickoff, you know, and all those, we talked about this last week, the magazines are coming out.
They are. They are.
We'll see what things look like. I'm excited about it.
Yep, as you should be. I think a lot of people are.
All right, pal. Have a great week.
You too, man. Have fun at the beach. There you go. That's Bill Roth and the Roth Report. Great stuff. Man, that's $5 billion for a stadium. I guess that makes sense, but that's still a lot. We roll along in our Power Hour when we come back. Joining us, David Teal, as we roll along on a Wednesday.
Rock Station, 105.3, The Bear.
37 minutes past the hour. Hope you're well wherever you might be. Thanks to Bill Roth. Tomorrow, Brian Steinspring and Dwight Vick join us on the program. We continue our Hall of Fame Power Hour. Joining us now, David Teal. You're also Sports Writer of the Year once again here in the Commonwealth. David, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
And so much I want to cover with you. All right, I'm going to start off because Bill wanted to talk about it, and I want to ask you. You saw what happened, I'm sure, by now with Jim Schlossnagel, the now former head baseball coach at A&M, and how he kind of went after the reporter. First of all, the reporter was just doing his job, did nothing wrong. But Have you ever had a situation in all of your years pop up that you kind of felt contentiousness from the head coach, even right as he or she were sitting down in front of the microphone?
Sure. happens all the time. You know, there were times where you had to ask a Pete Gillen or an Al Groh or a Mike London or a Buzz Williams, have you just coached your last game at Virginia or Virginia Tech?
Mm-hmm.
And in all those cases, the answer was yes. And in all those cases, they knew the answer. But depending on the coach and the mood, you got varying answers.
Well, and as Bill was talking about, I guess the bigger sin, if you're a reporter, is if you've got this rumor, you know it's going to happen, not asking the question would be far worse than having to deal with how the coach is going to, in this case, I believe, embarrass himself with the way he went after the reporter, right? You've got to ask the question if you've got the intel that you trust. And you're not disrespecting it. The way it was asked was perfectly fine because, for one thing, it was in the middle of the press conference. It's not like it was leading off the press conference.
Looking at the transcripts from the NCAA, it was the last question.
There you go.
Yeah. Of the press conference. Now, maybe it went on past that, but I read the transcript last night, and that was the final question. So I thought it was quite fair. I thought he was quite out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
And there were about 15 better ways for him to have handled that, and he chose the low road. And he'll have to answer for it today in Austin.
That's exactly right. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. But this just leads into more sympathy with what the athletes are finally getting, right? They've had to deal this for years with coaches who have done this for decades, right? The loyalty has been one-sided for a long, long time, and that's one of the reasons the shakeup's happening the way it's happening.
Very true. And I believe he was only at A&M for 3 years, and this was supposedly his destination gig. Now, in his defense, Chris Del Conte, the athletic director at Texas, is a close friend of his and his former boss at TCU. So the connection is an obvious and natural one.
Mm-hmm.
But yet again, many different ways to have handled it better. And look, I understand it's quote-unquote just baseball, but does this ratchet up that rivalry, especially with Texas coming into the SEC?
Oh. You imagine the first time he takes that team on the road at a College Station? Woo! Wow.
You're going to need security.
You will. Absolutely, you will. As usual, we had a lot of very interesting reads this week. One, I thought, because this the whole expansion of the NCAA tournament is all but inevitable at this point, but you talked about how this is going to help, in particular, the ACC, and how many teams that, you know, did not make the tournament, how this expanded field is going to make that no longer really an issue for them.
Well, it will be interesting if indeed the field expands to either 72 or 76, which seem to be the primary options. And I agree with you. I think it's probably inevitable. I don't know when, but I think it's probably going to happen. But I just went back and looked, because each year for the past 12, the NCAA has revealed the four teams that just missed the bracket, the four teams that were right there on the bubble and didn't make it. And the ACC in those 12 years had more teams among that group than any other conference, 9 teams. But before we jump to the conclusion that this is going to help the big boys, mid-majors accounted for 19 of those 48, which is a far higher ratio than they usually get of the 36 at large.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's something in this for all sides.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. So, yeah, the mid-majors are looking at it probably, okay, we're already getting our fair share, so this is going to help, you know, some of these leagues that look at themselves as kind of, you know, right on the cusp of being major basketball conferences as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you ask most mid-majors, they'd say, we're not getting our fair share, and maybe this would nudge them toward that goal.
David Teal joining us on the program, the Hall of Famer. And also, last year, as you pointed out, the ACC enjoyed record numbers on TV, but they maybe should not expect that in 2024, right?
Yeah, it's not going to happen, Rick, for a couple of different reasons. Mostly because they're not going to have access to ABC as they did last season. Last season was an anomaly because it was the first in which the Big Ten did not include ESPN ABC in its package. And it was before the SEC's exclusive deal with ESPN went into effect. Well, now that deal is in effect, and you can tell from the early kickoff times that have already been assigned and the network designations that ABC and ESPN, as you would expect, are all in on the SEC rather than the ACC. So that ABC access, the ACC is going to struggle to get those ratings that they enjoyed last season.
Well, and again, I guess on the surface, you kind of knew this was maybe going to happen, right, with the new commitment that they made to that league. But it's got to be disappointing overall, right, for everybody involved.
Yeah, well, and the good news for the ACC is it's got a chance to earn some more access by performing. You know, if Clemson goes out and beats Georgia opening week, and if Miami beats Florida, and if NC State beats Tennessee in week two, then all of a sudden the equation changes a little bit.
That's true. That's very, very true. Virginia got a commitment. We've been talking a lot. I've had a lot of Virginia fans chime in about what's going on down there and how big of a year this could be for the regime there. But tell us about Montino Williams, a kid. Is this the kind of kid that maybe you can start a legacy with?
Rick, with recruiting.
Well, true. Very true.
I'm hesitant until they sign.
Yeah.
let alone when a commitment indicates starting a legacy. But I'm with the UVA fans that they should be encouraged. It's better than the alternative. And let's see how it plays out until the early signing period.
Yeah, you're right. It's a positive sign, but boy, and that's kind of the way I look at all high school recruiting right now. I hear about, even with Coach Pry and the inroads they're making in the state, I kind of always just kind of give it a sideways glance and say, okay, well, let's see if these guys actually end up here and if they actually do make an impact because they are committed to staying here.
Exactly. You know, you have to recruiting is something that needs to marinate for a while, and we are not a marinating society. We are a hot take society.
And finally, let me ask you, I've got to ask you about J.J. Redick. You covered him when he was at Duke. He wasn't the first choice of the Lakers. Speaking of press conferences, I don't think I've ever heard a guy take head coaching job and drop a couple F-bombs like he did yesterday. How do you think, just your opinion, how do you think this is going to turn out in the long run?
Well, history says it won't turn out well because that's the history of the franchise. And there are a lot of people who know the NBA far better than we who will tell you that the Lakers are pretty dysfunctional from the ownership on down. And that's not a good sign. But it is a glamour franchise. Understand why J.J. did it. And I understand why the Lakers would be interested in him. Because he does have an incredible basketball IQ. Rick, I've known J.J. since he was at K-Spring coming down to the 757 to play for Boo Williams. Heck, I went on a all-star trip with him and a bunch of other guys to Brazil. And we had a grand time. But He has his hands full, to say the least. And I was encouraged that he's out of the podcasting business because he needs to coach his team and not worry about his media empire.
And it feels like there's such a different vibe toward head coaches in that league in particular, right? You see guys will have successful seasons and going, and they get fired like the Bucks coach last year. So there's just so much, and maybe him so fresh out of the league helps him too. I don't know, but that whole environment seems like once the players decide they don't want you to be there anymore, I don't care what you're doing, you're gone. So it's just got to be a difficult adjustment for him.
Well, a year ago, Darvin Ham had the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals.
That's right. That's right.
And then poof, you know, they're in the play-in tournament this year, and he's gone. So yeah, it's only a 4-year deal. And heck, look at Monty Williams in Detroit. Now, granted, the Pistons are in a far different position, but they're paying him $65 million to go away after 1 year.
It's unbelievable.
That's like Jimbo Fisher money.
Mm-hmm. And that's just, I don't understand. I'll never understand that. The buyout, you're willing just to eat that because a handful of players didn't want the coach there anymore. I don't get it. I'll never get it.
Yeah, I hope JJ is given the chance to make it work. I think given that chance, he can. And he's going to, you know, he's going to have to bridge the LeBron era because I don't think any of us believe that LeBron is going to play for 4 more years. And then if Bronny comes in, man, that just ratchets up the drum.
It does. It really does. All right, so what are you going to be looking at? I know you're getting ready for the ACC kickoff here in a few weeks, but what are you looking at now coming up this weekend?
I'm looking at relaxing.
Yeah, hey, good for you. You heading out again?
Nope.
Excellent.
Just hang out. Got some friends coming into town.
Perfect.
And I'm going to be doing a whole lot of nothing.
Best feeling in the world. And by the way, a happy belated birthday. I'm sorry I missed your birthday the other day.
No worries. Thank you.
All right, my friend. Listen, enjoy your nothingness, and we'll convene again here soon.
I intend to, I assure you.
All right, take care, man.
You too.
There you go. David Teal here on the program. He deserves to enjoy some nothingness. We're coming back, speaking of nothingness, to wrap it up on a Wednesday after this.
Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson.
She said it's cold outside and she hands me my raincoat. She's always worried about things like that. She said it's all gonna end and it might as well be my fault.
Back to wrap it up here on a Wednesday. Thanks to Keon Brown, Bill Roth, and David Teal. Tomorrow on the program, no Andy Bitter because he is vacating. But Ryan Steinspring scheduled to join us at 8:05, the new head football coach at Roanoke College, and then Dwight Vick to give you some terrific knowledge as well. Always great to hear from everybody on the text line. Remember, you can send those 744-2990. Shoot me a message on Messenger. It's always great to have so many people that are chiming in listening to what we're doing here on the show. It's good. Finishing up, I guess, officially, it'll be 4 weeks, about a full month since we made the move over here to 105.3 The Bear. Again, low 90s today. Be safe if you're out and about. Plenty of fluids. Hottest day so far, at least scheduled. We'll see if it gets that hot. A lot of times they will schedule that, and then you end up not at all reaching the trash that the temperature level that you're expected to reach. But in any event, pace yourself if you're working outside today. Everybody enjoy your day, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Be good, everybody.
for all of us here at News Center 4. I'm Ron Burgundy.
You stay classy, New River Valley.